It's hard to make a living when people hate you. Especially, you know, today we have all kinds of laws and things to kind of protect against that. It doesn't protect against all of it, but generally it is. Now, here's the thing. In other countries, though, today, like, to be a Christian is not an easy thing. Like, we actually have missionaries who are in parts of the world where we can't even tell you where they are because they would be killed if they were found out they were there, or at minimum thrown out. And there's other parts of the world where, you know, they have something. I was trying to find an actual story. I'd heard a couple of them. Like, they send you a bullet in the mail and go, I think you need to be out of town or convert to Islam by, like, tomorrow morning. You know, and so you have a choice. Do I leave town immediately? Or, you know, do I renounce my faith? Or do I die? And there's a lot of places where, and you guys, sometimes you'll see, like, I don't know what my profile is on Facebook right now, but I have that, like, weird, scripty, little U-looking thing. That's an N for Nasrani, because it's the symbol for the Jesus was from Nazareth. So the Christians are called the Nasrani. And so it's sort of that, because around the world, people are put in awkward places. You can't make a living because of who you follow. That's so alien to our thought and our process in America, because we believe in, you know, letting people be whatever they want to be. But that's really how it was. And so sometimes becoming a believer meant you were not going to have riches. You were going to be in poverty. I mean, few Christians are like, hey, I want to move to Mosul right now, you know, or, you know, whatever has been taken over by ISIS lately. I don't follow it all. But, you know, most of us don't want to move there because it's not a good business, or it might be a good business opportunity, but you're thinking, or it's also an opportunity to die. And so that's where they find themselves, in this place where they're persecuted. And Jesus is giving them this warning, hey, you're going to be persecuted. And he says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Again, this is not an Instagram verse. You are not like, I mean, we've been posting scriptures almost, you know, every day on the Facebook, and we put them on our Instagram. But we're not like, this is not one, I watch Carmen will do it this week. You know, it's, you know, do not be afraid of about what you're to suffer. the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You'll suffer persecution. We don't like that part of the faith, do we? And it, honestly, if I have to choose between suffer and not suffer, what are you going to choose? Not suffer, unless you've got some thing that we need to talk about. You know, most of us don't. It says 10 days. Now, I know people get all into crazy number stuff. It's going to be a long time. He's saying, hey, it's going to be until the time is complete. I don't want to, there's kind of a bunch of different interpretations, but I think we kind of run off the rails there and go in crazy directions. And you know, but, you know, Christianity is not about, I do this and then my life is so much better. Because sometimes life will get harder. Now, Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 9, starting verse 23. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever would save his life would lose it. Whatever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, that's sort of a strange way of speaking, I imagine, for the first disciples to hear this. Like, we think of cross, we think of what? Honestly, you're thinking of jewelry, aren't you? Because so many of us, we have a cross, right? We wear it, we put it around our neck, there we go. You know, and we have cross earrings, and, you know, I remember I used to ride the bus back and forth to Pittsburgh, and, like, I'd be like, oh, look, there's someone with a cross. Maybe they're follower of Jesus. Not so much, because not everyone on the bus who had a cross was necessarily a follower of Jesus. It's sort of this thing. But, you know, and we think of the cross as just a symbol. But remember, it was really a symbol of suffering and shame, as the hymn would tell you if you remember that one from growing up, because it was a torture device. It was, and you weren't, the Romans, they didn't invent it. They kind of picked it up from another culture, but they really, they sort of, you know, like they're perfecting the art of not just killing you, but mocking you and making it painful along the way. So to say pick up your cross was sort of crazy. We don't really have an exact, because we have no cruel and unusual punishment in America, we don't kind of have the same thing, you know. It's like, you know, pick up your noose and follow me, but the, you know, that, you know, take up your firing squad or your electric chair or something. It's a symbol of death, because following Jesus means we are picking up a cross, not a pool noodle, not a fancy drink. Following Jesus means I'm willing to die. This is it. I'm willing to be all in on this thing. And Jesus is not encouraging them, like, hey, don't worry, it's going to be an easy life. You're going to love this. You do these 10 steps, you'll have financial prosperity. And the original disciples, remember, what happens to, well, Judas kind of kills himself and explodes like roadkill pinata. that's a whole, oh, yeah, it's terrible. Don't betray Jesus. That could have been you. And, you know, and then reminds me of someone, they had this, you know, yeah, anyway, I'll tell the joke later. We'll get off track. But you know, Judas goes off, he does that, you know, the other 10 die horrible deaths. John probably wished he died. He's writing this letter, but he gets boiled and doesn't die. I mean, I would rather die, I think, than that. And so all of them are, you know, are killed. It's not, hey, follow me and great things happen. Sometimes, if we're honest, if we're truthful, following is hard. We're picking up cross. Now, Christianity is a better life, but it isn't always an easy life. Now, in America, we've been relatively, we think, you know, being persecuted for our faith is like someone was snippy with us on the internet. You know, I'm sorry you suffered for the Lord today. you didn't get enough likes on your scripture post. you know, and I hope that level of persecution doesn't come to us here. But it's, you know, it's really, it could be a lot worse. But, you know, Jesus says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It's a trade. We get eternal life. We get life with Jesus, but the trade-off is it's your life now. You give it to him, and that means you do different things. You live different ways. And again, the trade-off is so much, you know, better. But it doesn't mean our life is always good and easy and nice here. It says, you know, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses it, forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him that will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. It's a good deal. Because ultimately, to gain the world's money, power, popularity, all that stuff is meaningless compared to knowing Jesus. Now, see, some people sell Christianity like it's a country song played backwards. You know what I mean? You get your wife back, you get your dog back, you get your truck back. You know, and like, okay, if I'm a believer in Jesus, everything works out, right? Anyone here have everything work out for them? Anyone? Anyone? No, Bueller? It's not, but it's a better life. And ultimately, they say no pain, no gain. Like in Christianity, it's K-N-O-W. So if you know pain, you will know gain. You like that? we love work. We actually get arguments over here over, you know, the Oxford comma. Or it's this also called the serial comma or the unnecessary comma. But some of you get that, some of you are like, that's crazy. But, you know, I like little word plays, because when you really know Jesus, you might know pain, and then, but you'll ultimately know gain. Because no matter what you suffer, no matter what you lose, you know, it's going to be better. Now, some of you may not ever really experience that level of persecution. That's awesome. You can listen to the other 7 churches, or other 6. But the truth is, some of us, and at some points in your life, you may experience that. And Jesus is writing this as an encouragement. You know, we'll all be persecuted? No. I like in John chapter 21, there's this scene, and Peter's being reinstated, and Jesus, it's kind of a famous one. He's like, "Do you love me?" And, you know, Peter's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Do you, you know, feed my sheep? Do you love me?" You know, and he does it three times, and Peter's like almost offended. Like, why do you keep asking me this? And it's kind of cool because Peter denies him three times. He reinstates him three times. All this stuff's going on. But then at the end, Jesus says this to him. He goes, "I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." That's kind of a harsh welcome back, right? You're back, but you're going to die. And, you know, maybe we didn't see this. Peter sees it. I love this because Peter turned around and he saw the disciple Jesus loved, which is John, who's writing this gospel. John, I never quite know what to make of John. He's like, the disciple Jesus loved. I mean, are you being humble or is it a humble brag? Because you're not telling us who you are, but you're kind of saying, well, Jesus loved me more. You know, and there's little things like they race to the tomb and John mentions that he won and he beat Peter to the tomb. He just didn't go in. You know, it's like all these little, it's just really the personalities of people come out. So Peter, you know, I picture there's always, probably always rivalry with the disciples a little bit. Because you see that. You see them jockeying for who's first. Like they don't get it. So if there's ever a point when you're around with a bunch of Christians, you're like, you know, on the worship team or you're working with groups or you're working, doing things, and people are fighting, hey, you got good company because the disciples were just like that too. And so I kind of picture that always a little fighting, little things. And Jesus is like, love each other, serve each other. And they're like, ooh, me first. It's kind of like having children. Anyway, so Peter turned around and he saw then the disciple behind then the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and asked, "Lord, are you going to prepare you?" And Peter asked, "What about him?" Like, I'm getting crucified? What about this guy? Is he double crucified? Like, what, how does this work? And Jesus replied, "If I wanted to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." And then John kind of corrects that, you know, so the rumor spread around the community believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He said, if I want him to remain alive, kind of like it's not up to you to kind of worry about what his thing is. And in your life, here's the thing. Some of you will experience persecution. Some of you will experience, and it can be on levels. I don't mean to diminish the fact that people may not like you and sit with you at your lunch break because you're a believer and a follower of Jesus. That can hurt. I think it kind of pales into comparison to being like killed. But you know, it hurts. And there's times with even in your faith, and if you're a teenager, there's times where you might stand up for things that you believe that are right that maybe your friends don't. And you lose some friends. That hurts. It does. But, you know, I think sometimes we can look at what we suffer and then look at other people and go, well, what about them, Lord? What are they suffering? I don't know what they're going to suffer. I don't know what you're going to suffer. But you know, ultimately, God is, he doesn't come in and say, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. But he does promise that we have eternal life. We have, if we continue to keep our faith and our trust in him. He says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. For those of you who care, there's actually two different types of crowns talked about in the Bible, not crayons, but crown. You know, there's the crown the royalty would have. But then there's this crown that he's talking about is what an athlete would win if they won like in a sport. You know, we don't really, you know, think about maybe winning a crown. Like we kind of do more trophies or medals or different, like people don't like put things on our heads. You won. Here's the thing. In my former life, I did a lot of things to win plastic chunks and metal, you know, and certificates and different things. And you know where they all are? They're in a box in the attic somewhere, you know, the ones I haven't thrown out or haven't lost by now. And it's funny, if you see me limping, it's usually because of the things that I did to win all those things. And we will kill ourselves for sports in this culture. And I like sports. Sports guy. I've got the scars. Check that one out. I tore my arm off one time. It was awesome. I've got a video somewhere. But you know, I love sports. I really do. They're fun. You know, some of you aren't into sports. That's awesome. You can get awards for singing. I can't. I get an award for people if I don't sing. thank you here, Jeff. You know, we'll kill ourselves for trophies, for accolades, for stuff. But really, the real accolade, the real crown is if we endure, if we continue, even in the face of persecution. It says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Now, I know we love English stuff here. This is like, if you've ever learned languages, there's different rules in other languages. And I think some other languages, we've had this conversation before, had this too. You know, you can't, in English, if you use a double negative, it's a positive. Right. You know, and if you, you know, you ain't not going to get that. Does that mean I'm going to get that? Ain't not. And I've heard triple negatives in English where I'm not sure what they mean. I don't know how many, you know, and this is actually, this is a double negative in Greek. He's like, you won't not be hurt by the second death, but it doesn't become a positive. You know, he's saying, you know, death ain't not even gonna hurt you. It's bad English, but it's good theology. It's that, you know, it's really the sense that nothing, you know, even death will not hurt you. And again, hopefully most of us aren't going to experience the persecution to the point of death, but even death can't hurt you. Death can't touch you. If you have your faith and your trust in Christ, no matter what, he's got you. He's got your back. Jesus overcame. Now, persecution, I don't know, that's scary. Like, if we're honest. It's easy to read this and be like, oh yeah, I would stand up to Jesus to the death. You know, that's till a guy drops by with an AK-47, and you know, you're thinking, okay, or even worse, they make it a slow thing, and you know, you're like, I don't know. And most of us probably won't be persecuted. But here's the thing: if you're not living for a faith you're worth dying for, you're really not living. You know, if Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And when you really, truly have your life in Jesus, then the other stuff starts to look a little less important. And again, it's still okay to have things in this life. It's still okay to enjoy the things here. It's still okay to, you know, backpack on the Appalachian Trail or whatever your thing is. But outside of knowing Jesus, it pales in comparison. And that's what Jesus is encouraging the church. And, you know, don't look for persecution. I've had friends, and I've told you this story. They're like, they always thought they were being persecuted for their faith. They would always post all this stuff while they're at work about how they're being persecuted for their faith and how hard it is to be a Christian working here. And I'm thinking, one, your status is public. Your employer sees this. And the problem is you're on posting on Facebook instead of working, and I'm pretty sure that's why your employer's annoyed. They're not persecuting you for faith. It's for being a jerk. And sometimes the church has drawn some criticism because we're idiots to people. That's not persecution. You know, but the truth is, the Christian life is not always easy. There's times where you're going to believe things that not everybody's into. There's times that you're going to believe in some things that aren't popular. But ultimately, even in the face of that opposition, even in the face of that persecution, we can trust that Jesus is there, that our hope is in him. You know, 1 Peter, calls it, he says, we're aliens and strangers in this world. This is not our home. We're heading someplace else. And if you remain faithful to Christ, you know, even when times are hard, we remain faithful to Christ because our hope is in something much bigger and better than here.